Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
Welcome to Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm your host, Angela Jones, and we have as our very special guest today, Annalee Cornish. Annalee is the founder and owner of Set Apart Cleaning, and she has a really interesting story about how she got into her helping profession. Welcome, Annalee.
I do. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So I got into cleaning just kind of on accident. Well, nothing's really an accident, but I was a server in the restaurant industry for 16 years. I always say I did my time. I think everyone should have to work in a restaurant at some point in their life to just get the feel for what it's like to serve others. And I really enjoyed that. However, that did not serve me in that industry, working in that industry, because I found out later in life that I had quite a problem with alcohol. That industry was not serving me very well, and I struggled a lot while working there. But I've been sober for 8 years now.
Fantastic.
And it's been a slow process of having to give that up because I really enjoyed it. I think my favorite part about serving in restaurants was just anticipating the guest need, and meeting it before they even could ask.
So were you waiting tables here in Colorado Springs?
I have done that here in Colorado Springs. A lot of it happened in Atlanta when I lived there, and then before that in Orlando, Florida.
Right. So you're a Florida native or a Georgia native?
Well, Florida. I was born in Virginia, but I moved to Orlando when I was 5 and grew up there for 15 years. So that's, I honestly think Colorado is home. That's what I say. I mean, I just feels like home. My whole family's here now, so I love it here. But
A lot of people that live in our community that have taken a similar route. Mm-hmm. Like they were born somewhere, moved somewhere when they were little, and transplanted somewhere else in adulthood and found themselves, making Colorado Springs their home. So that's really cool. And so you said there came a point in time when you realized that you had a substance abuse issue.
Yes.
So what happened there?
It was over the course of like 15 years where it was really bad. Drugs and alcohol, just it kind of goes with the the whole serving industry is very common. Yes, it can. Not everybody, obviously. But for me, it was a personal, it was a kind of a secret struggle. And then it got worse. And I realized like I had to change things in my life because I would always go back to my, that's what I knew how to do. And I knew I was good at it. Mm-hmm. So getting outside of that was kind of scary to me at the time.
Right.
But when I got sober, I realized that was the one thing I was going to have to make a sacrifice, pay cut. It wasn't as easy, serving as cash in your pocket every night, that was nice. But at the same time, it was not working for me. So I started working at Whole Foods just right after I got sober in January of 2013. Mm-hmm. I got a job at Whole Foods and loved it there. For the first 8 months, I was a cashier, and that was like dying a slow, painful death for someone like me. I need the variation and the of just different things to do. So standing in one spot, having the same conversation over and over was interesting. But I ended up being I got moved departments and got into marketing there and became their store artist. So I got to do all the fun chalkboards and and that's kind of been a passion of mine since childhood. I just have always doodled and drawn, and I love doing hand lettering. And so I got into that, and I thought, I'm going to make a business out of this. So I started doing hand signage, on the side menus for people, and branched out a little bit from there. Then moved back to Colorado, and I was working at Whole Foods here. Had been transferred and was really enjoying that, but the position that I had in Atlanta wasn't available here, so I ended up transitioning out of that and took a year off, actually, just to kind of just get to know myself and who I was, because I was trying to figure that all that out, being newly sober. And that led me to, it was just actually My ex-husband is a chiropractor here in town, and had a patient who had an Airbnb, and he suggested me, and so this guy called me, and I started cleaning his Airbnb regularly, mm-hmm. and found that I really enjoyed it. I just like there's so much satisfaction in just being able to come in and reset everything perfectly, and I get to work for myself, you know, not working for anyone, so. That appealed to me, and I got to make my own schedule, and I started doing it for him, and then it's just been one after the other. All of my clients have come from just word of mouth.
Right. So when you get to, you know, that's much more physical, you mm-hmm. know, than standing, say, in the same place, right?
Well, that's
different all the time.
That's good for me, because I don't like going to the gym, so.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't.
You wouldn't know it from looking at
right?
you.
That's how I stay in shape. I make beds with lots of energy, you know? I just do what I do with lots of energy, and so that's worked out well for me.
That's great. And so, When you started, and I know when you started your business, you said you were like kind of doing this, and it's been one-on-one, and it's been growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just here and there. I was doing the Airbnbs for that one guy consistently for a summer, and then I picked up some residential cleaning jobs and learned real quick that I really don't like cleaning around other people's things.
Right.
But I'll do it. I do it for friends that I know that will, you know, I have their house key. I just go and do it at their convenience. They'll give me a time frame, and I get it done when I can, and I really enjoy being able to do that for a couple of people. But my niche is the Airbnb turnover service that I found I really enjoy, and there's so many other things that go along with that I do hot tub maintenance, I do lawn care, I do window washing, you know, whatever you name it. I say I can do all things through Christ and YouTube. That's kind of my motto.
That's really funny. So I understand that you have you know, that as your business has grown, you've started to connect this with sober care.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah. So I have a friend working with me right now that's actually living in sober living. And I got this idea just very recently, actually, just that I could, you know, it's hard to find help from people who really want to work and enjoy doing what I do, because I genuinely enjoy the cleaning part of it. And it is, you know, it's intense at some times, because we have same day bookings, got to get a lot done in a short amount of time, be efficient, and still meet that standard, but also in a very short time frame, especially multiple properties on the same day, which is the summertime is always like that.
A challenge, right?
Yeah, and so I've had some people that have come and helped and just blessed me incredibly by just wanting to be there. And it's also this accountability thing, because you can get sober, but there's way more to it, that you have to surround yourself with community and be accountable, you know. So going, for me, it was hard in the beginning, going from, you know, nobody really knows what you're going through, because they're not you, but it's your experience, and it's important to have safeguards and people around that will encourage you and keep you accountable if they notice that you're just kind of slip in emotionally or whatever, like just to be there with you. And I just think that it would be awesome to be able to employ women living in, or men, you know, living sober living houses that are just trying to get on their feet. Right. And so I want to provide that opportunity.
Okay.
For them.
We're going to just do a real brief pause for identification, and then we'll get right back to that after that. You're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones, and our very special guest, Annalee Cornish of Set Apart Cleaning. So I wanted to ask a little bit more, I mean, because you were talking about the recovery, and then it was hard to be in doing what you were doing before, and then you've kind of tied that to wanting to support people who are in, you know, sober living now, and kind of setting up this new life and being around them, supporting them. Can you, I mean, because not everybody is familiar with what happens when you go into recovery. I mean, it's a whole new life, essentially, that you've got new friends, new everything,
new
sometimes
playgrounds,
all kinds of things. You just a whole new world to navigate, and you know, and it's your navigating it without the same coping mechanisms you had before. Yeah. So if you don't mind, how did that work for you? And what ways do you see that, you know, maybe you're specially equipped to come alongside folks, especially as an employer, you know, and support them?
I think so. Where all of this stems from, I believe the key to success in business is through relationship. And so building relationships with my clients, my employees, is super important. And I do that first. I make sure that there's an established, you know, trust, between us before I would feel comfortable, you know, 'cause sometimes I have to send my people to other properties and be somewhere else. And, so building that relationship and that trust with them, I think it's awesome to be able to just say, hey, I'm trusting you, even though, you know, you haven't necessarily had the best track record. Right. I've been there too. So, you know, just being intentional about relationship and connecting is key to recovery, and having people that you know you can be yourself with. And so that, I think just building the relationship.
Did you have some people like that in your life that helped you?
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about them, or at least the interactions you had with them?
Yeah. So when I first got sober, I was living with family, friends, and it wasn't, you know, I didn't know it was going to happen when it happened. God just came in and he scooped me up and delivered me from the, you know, obsession to drink and use drugs and all that stuff. He took it away from me completely. Mm. And it's nothing short of a miracle that I'm even here today. Mm. I did not do it on my own. I tried to white knuckle it through so many recovery programs and rehabs and do it on my own. But the part that I was missing was the intentional connecting with others and staying in relationship with them, because I think that is what, for me, the people I was living with, they demonstrated Jesus's love for us. You know, I always say, I don't know if they're even human. The way that they loved me was so just straightforward. They never stopped, no matter what I did. And I did some pretty horrendous things that, you know, you wouldn't do to a friend. But when you're in that place, that element of it, I think, is lost. Just with drugs and alcohol, they, you know, you're not in your right mind, and sadly, people do things they wouldn't usually do. But the people I was living with just kept loving me, and they never told me what to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm careful not to do that with people. You call it shooting on. Don't shoot on people. You know, don't shoot on yourself. Don't say, you know. And so just being I can't judge, you know, because I've been there, and it's a beautiful thing, because I never would want to, but it's easy to slip into, I think, for people on the outside looking in. So having somebody with my experience, I know exactly what that's like, coming, being, you know, seemingly alone in the world. You feel like an infant. You got to relearn how to do life and who you are, without that, without, you know, alcohol to, you know, you think you're one way, and then you get sober and you're like, oh, maybe. And I didn't know if I was going to be a boring, you know, dull kind of person. I think that's, and that's so not the case.
Yeah.
definitely. I don't need any enhancers. but being there. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the one thing, you know, that, like, I wonder about is that boundaries piece. Because I know, you know, boundaries is, like what you're saying, it's like, hey, you had these friends who loved you, but what does that look like? Because, you know, I know that, you know, you can't be boundaryless with anybody, but especially someone who's, you know, walking through addiction, active addiction especially, but also recovery. And so, you know, how did that work? I mean, where did you see those appropriate lines being drawn? And, you know, I think that would be particularly important in the context of, like, employing people. Because, I mean, I know that, you know, I would want to know, especially if you're, you know, wanting to bring folks who are in recovery into my spaces or what have you, you know, is this going to be safe? You know, or is my property going to be safe? Or is something crazy going to happen, you know, with this addict, you know, in here? So,
And that's something that ultimately is up to God, and I use discernment, and boundaries are absolutely 100% important in in doing in business and in life. And I've it's been a process of my 8 years in sobriety has been, I think God has taken me on the slow track for myself because I have to, I'm that kind of person. I have to touch the stove and learn it's hot, okay? Even though you did it and I saw other people doing it, I learn, I'm a very like experiential learner. So I had to go through all of this stuff and learn, you know, kind of what wasn't working and what was working and what's part of my old behaviors, old habits, and not having boundaries was one of them. And it kept me from a lot of, I don't know, stability, I guess, but I am stable now because it's just been that I just needed that time in order to be where I'm at today, to learn how, you know, each of those things has to come up and out, and God reveals those to us as things happen with people. But trusting, you know, I would not, I think, be comfortable hiring somebody right off the bat if they were unstable in any way. It's the people that you see the light has come on, they are done, you know, done, you know, enough is enough. And you can see that in a person, especially if, you know, like myself, having the experience and having been there before, you can, there's things you can detect in a person and know whether or not they're serious or just playing you, you know, because that's another element of it, the manipulation and everything. So, but I just trust God to show me that, you know, to be able to discern these things. Honestly, and he has given me this company. It was handed to me. Some of my clients were handed to me by a church friend who's doing this. And she gave me a couple clients, and they have ended up being amazing. That's when I actually established my company was last year. No, 2 years ago in April. And so from there, I mean, things have just been growing. And right now it's only me. I'm my only permanent employee, but I am looking to hire, and I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of what that will look like, and but I will.
Well, we were kind of talking about this, you know, when we had coffee yesterday, virtual coffee yesterday, that, you know, your ideas or thoughts ran to working with established, you know, three-quarter homes or halfway homes, working with the managers and, you know, other helping, and then, I mean, for me, it always goes back to this helping professionals. Like, you know, I don't think most people think about, you know, hey, is the gals cleaning my house are doing this as a service, or, you know, the gal that owns the company that's cleaning my Airbnb is really doing this to support other people as they're walking out of addiction. And so to me, it's just awesome. And I've gotten to know a couple of, through some of the volunteer work I've done, just gotten to know a couple of folks that own halfway houses and three-quarter houses and things of that nature. And you had sort of gotten the idea to work with some of these folks to vet appropriate candidates, but also to give that opportunity and leg up that, you know, for employment in an arena or an area that might be a change of pace or a change of scenery, but also where they're supported even in the in their work day.
Yeah.
And so would it be helpful to you, like, to have, you know, connections with folks like that?
Yeah, it definitely would. And I think that because when, you know, there's managers to these like three-quarter way houses where it's just a sober living home, like where my friend is living right now, there's 15 women that have lived there. And the ones, you know, there's stages that they have set up for their own protection, you know, earlier curfews if they're brand new for the first month. So there's safeguards there set up. And I think the longer that they're there, the more they are able to prove that they're really working their program. And so that would be awesome to be able to be in touch with them and see, you know, because they would be able to determine who's ready for work and who is showing, you know, the behavior that I would be looking for and the desire to do that. So I would love that, you know, those connections.
Right.
For sure.
So you had mentioned a church friend that had gotten you connected. So you are part of a local church plant?
I am.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay.
The Jesus Church of Colorado Springs.
All right.
We meet at 502 North Walnut Street every Sunday night at 6 p.m. So come. Yeah, we are. We started in a house, and it's just been this ever growing. We're family, like legitimate family. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows everybody, and it's been growing. We're actually doing conference this weekend, and my husband is one of the. He's the executive pastor there. He was just ordained, so and he comes from the same. He was addicted to heroin for 10 years. His arm was paralyzed. God healed it, and he is. I don't know. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is. Actually, I remember, attending your wedding to Ian. And so I know you mentioned your ex-husband had gotten you sort of connected with the Airbnb, but you've since remarried.
Yes, right. And that's a fun connection, too. And he recently gave his life to Jesus, and we now are all together. We get to do life. We have a 12-year-old daughter that's between both houses, but we live within... you know, a mile of each other. And so we're all close family now. And it's been really awesome. So yeah, there's all these little connections between, like within our church family and the business that people do. And we just all help each other. It's awesome.
So, just in addition to admiring you, we've known each other for several years. And, that's one of the things that, I'd noticed and always, thought was just fantastic is how your family has navigated the whole divorce and shared custody situation. In fact, I think I first met you when I was at a 4th of July with your ex-husband, and he was dating my sister, and we had Bailey, and then you came and did 4th of July with us.
My life is never boring. I will say that. Do not believe the lie that you need drugs or alcohol to make your life exciting. Not true at all. There's never a dull moment at our house. I was married to my ex-husband for 5 years, and it was during the heaviest time. I was struggling. I was trying to, maintain, this normal sense of normalcy, which nothing about it was normal. I just wasn't being honest. Mm. I got married very quickly to him back in 2008, and then it was bad from the beginning. Just both of us, me being trapped in the, in addiction and not able to get out. Just with him, there were just a lot of issues, and neither one of us was healthy. So it was a lot of drama for those 5 years, and I left him multiple times. It was a struggle. We had a baby in that, in 2009. Mm-hmm. And so, let's see, we got divorced though, right at the end of my drinking. So we got divorced, I think it was finalized in July of 2013. And then, but I had just gotten sober in January, but we were already split up at that point. Mm-hmm. So I was in recovery working on myself and just trying to move on from that. Mm-hmm. And I was raised in the church, if you will. My parents were amazing. My dad died in a plane crash when I was 14. And so it was just this long road of chaos after that. And then, being married, and not knowing what I was doing, or I wasn't even healthy enough to be in any kind of relationship. But when I got out of that, I was able to finally focus on myself. Mm-hmm. And there's so much I could go into, but I'll give you the short version. I walked through my own stuff with God, and he has just, he's so real and so good, and the healing is available as long as we surrender.
Bailey, your daughter, has benefited, just tremendously from this, because I've seen your faith, and you've always both been very, for whatever else was going on in your lives, very child-centered, and also very, very committed to co-parenting her well. And it sounds like now that Ian is in the picture, that, you know, that again is, you know, the support of her, mm-hmm. even though, you know, maybe it may seem odd to outsiders, you right. know what I mean? Like, why are you all hanging out?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. We've done that. We had to do that the other night. Introduce, you know, this is my ex-husband, and I'm sitting on the wrong side of the table, but right. that's my husband. This is our daughter. So, but it's so he gave, my ex-husband gave his life to Jesus about 3 or 4 months ago now. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a total 180 turnaround. Right. Like, so I have prayed for him. I prayed for his salvation for 10 years. I had enough knowledge to know I needed to do that, even in the midst of my struggle.
Right.
That was a consistent prayer. That's how I forgave him. I just started praying for him because I had so much resentment mm-hmm. and anger mm-hmm. that I was like, I don't want any of this. Like, how do I forgive? I forgive. How do I? But it wasn't happening
right.
until I started praying for him.
Right.
And so I did that for 10 years. Ian, when I met Ian, my husband now, him and I prayed for, you know, for his, just for his eyes to be open to the truth, because I see people struggling all around, and I want, mm-hmm. you know, that is our, the only reason I'm alive is because of Jesus. So that's mm-hmm. what I talk about, like, with anyone and everyone. Right. So we had been doing that, and God totally wrecked his life, turned everything upside down, and it has been the most beautiful thing to witness. We have a home group we do on Tuesday nights at our mm-hmm. house. I cook for 20 people, which is supernatural in and of itself, because I'm not a hostess.
Right.
I never have been, but God. So we've been doing that, and I was just sitting there going, is this real? Like, is my mm-hmm. ex-husband and my husband, they look like brothers. I was sitting at my dining room table watching them sit, you know, across from me, and I was just like, you all look alike. Like, it's so mm-hmm. bizarre to me, but it's just been such a blessing to have him. You know, we do dinner together at least like 3 times a week. Mm. And so he's just come in, and we're like family. It's the most amazing experience, because it is healthy for Bailey, mm-hmm. you know, our daughter too, and Ian too has loved her like she was his own from the get, and, you know, said vows to her at our wedding, and mm-hmm. just has been so intentional with her, and it's so beautiful to see, like, just her light up and you know, start to understand, like, oh, this is possible. Like, not every, you know, divorce is terrible. You know, I don't wish it upon anyone, but if it has to happen, and in this case, like, God turned it all around for our good, and mm-hmm. our and has reconnected our family in a way that isn't possible without him. Like, it's so fun now, because I knew him then. I'm like, you're not the same person, but that's the same for me, you know? Like, right. I'm not the same as I was, and, like, so there's hope. And if we don't let that run out and don't lose hope, like, anything's possible, and my family is living proof.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. And I appreciate you being here with us this Sunday. I'm Angela Jones with Brighter Day Law, and we've been visiting with Annalee Cornish of Set Apart Cleaning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Brighter Day Law are an experienced and qualified team of divorce and family law attorneys. Their aim is to help you get through that emotional and challenging time of divorce and other family disputes. The mission of Brighter Day Law is to compassionately help families resolve their disputes with personalized legal representation while keeping the best interest of the entire family at heart. Their attorneys handle all kinds of family law cases, including child custody, divorce, high asset divorce, mediation, and alimony. Brighter Day Law, compassionate counsel in dark and stressful times. 225-4493 or at brighterdaylaw.com. This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF, 98.5 FM, 1040 AM, and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean.